Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit GoEVMobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Shue.
The Fredericksburg NAACP is holding a Martin Luther King Day program on the 16th. It is virtual this year, and we are going to talk about it this morning. I have Xavier Richardson and Ann Little here this morning, two people who come in here all the time. This is the first time I've gotten you two together. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
Great morning. To be here.
It is good. Likewise. It is good to have you here. The program, we'll get into it about it being virtual and the theme and a lot of good stuff, speakers and everything. Xavier, you and I have talked about Dr. King over the years a lot, and as we go along this morning, I like your story about. We'll start off with that. You were growing up, and talk about how you found out about Dr. King's assassination.
Sure. On that evening, when I first found out about it, I was out knocking on doors in my neighborhood in Mayfield with a petition asking that we have an open housing law enacted or regulation in Fredericksburg, because at that time, African Americans did not have the freedom of choice in terms of being able to live in a lot of communities. And I think I was probably in the sixth grade or something like that. But I guess that's when my community advocacy first began, and someone handed me a petition, and I was very proud to walk around and secure names for that petition, even though I wasn't old enough to vote. And it was such a shocking thing to hear when it was broadcast on the television, being in the African-American community in the homes of persons who were devastated upon hearing about that. And being that I was so young, what could I do but to do something as simple as carrying around a petition, because I couldn't be a strong advocate beyond that. I was only 12 years old. I felt good about what I was doing at that particular moment, because that was going to be so important to the future of our community. Things that many of our young people can't even fathom, that you had to go around with a petition asking that the regulations be changed in this community so that there'll be open housing. I just remember a day when and I'm not too old, I'm only 65 years old, but the young people I mentor, you are that old. But anyway, that I can remember when the communities were so segregated that many of the teachers who came into this community were forced to live as boarders with other families in the community. A perfect example, the late Johnny P. Johnson, an icon who just passed a few months ago. When he first moved to Fredericksburg, he actually lived with my late wife's aunt, and she was living there. So it was not uncommon for a student, and she was in his first class, to be able to have your teacher living with you.
And that wasn't that long ago. That's the thing.
So that's why it was so important. And I remember even a lot of the engineers and mathematicians African-American who worked in Dahlgren, they lived in Fredericksburg because that's where they could find, appropriate housing for them. So I was trying to be a civil servant and civil rights advocate even as a 12-year-old.
And do you remember where you were when you found out that Dr. King had been assassinated?
I was older, and I was living in California at the time, and it was a devastating thing for the community, but it was more far away for me as far as that goes, because I wasn't active like Xavier was.
Yeah.
I was in my early 20s trying to make a living and working a lot.
I can remember my mother watching the funeral on TV. That's my only recollection of it. But I just remember that I was playing on the floor and looking up at the TV and just asking questions here and there. But yeah, no, it was the kind of thing. And for you, Xavier, I mean, it was the one of the starts of, you know, that catapulted you into civil rights and in these kind of issues.
Yes, because during that time, the grades 1 through 5, I attended to Walker Grant Elementary School, which was then a segregated school, and I learned a lot about the African-American history back then and the impact of what was going on relative to the civil rights movement. And it was only natural that as you thought about what you wanted to be and what role you might play in society, not only relative to what jobs career you would pursue, but also how you would provide service to the community. Because I realized that I was a beneficiary of a lot of great assistance and support by many people in that segregated school and in that segregated neighborhood, because my next-door neighbor was a school principal and his wife was a school assistant principal, but my parents, unfortunately, were not able to attend college, so that helped me to shape my vision of how I wanted to be involved. And my next-door neighbor, the late Wilbur Chance, Senior, was actually a member of the Human Relations Council of Fredericksburg, so I was aware of some of the things that were going on locally to improve the social atmosphere in Fredericksburg.
And I was like, when you tell the story and talk about just some of the influences in school that really clamped down on you and made sure that they saw something in you and made sure that you became the student that you became.
Very much so, and even to this day, I'm still learning of things that people like Marguerite Young, who's now 94 years old, and we'll talk a little bit about her later, things that she was doing behind the scenes, and my third grade teacher, Barbara Weston, they were plotting and scheming to make sure that I had the opportunity to participate in some programs, because I couldn't participate in them because of academic needs, but they knew that I needed it from the cultural perspective.
Yeah.
So they were able to get me into something like the Project 8910, when it was a federal program that exposed me to a lot of things. And culturally, I was able to go on trips to D.C. and places like that I otherwise would not have been able to see. And there were so many positive people, Johnny P. Johnson again, who taught me many things. I jokingly say that he actually taught me how to pronounce my name in the fourth grade, because all this time people were calling me Xavier, and he would always tell people, no, his name is Xavier. Young lady, is your name P. Portia? And his name is not Xavier. And to this day, I still use that. But the most important thing is there were role models who showed me what the possibilities are. It was there at Walker Grant in that segregated school that I first learned about Princeton University, because my third grade teachers, brother was the first African-American football player on the Princeton team. I learned about Harvard Business School there because one of the high school teachers, son Wilford Lucas, had attended Harvard Business School. So there were things that I saw there, and then the influence of Harambee 360 with Gay Adebolo and her father Clarence Todd. I learned a lot about African-American history and culture, and most of all, how to develop a strong sense of self, which is so important and so critical.
The MLK program in Fredericksburg is coming up. We're going to talk about that and get into that when we come back with Ann Little and Xavier Richardson this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving for daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Xavier Richardson and Ann Little here this morning. The Fredericksburg branch of the NAACP holding a Martin Luther King holiday breakfast on the 16th. It is virtual this year. We'll get into all the details on that in just a second. This is this breakfast, there've been past Martin Luther King events in Fredericksburg. We have not. We've had a number of those over the years.
Yes, yes. In fact, I was talking to some of the former leaders of the Fredericksburg branch NAACP, and the thought of having a breakfast has probably been started over 25 years ago. And then I think it was first implemented with the late president, Dr. Nathaniel Young, and his wife, and they put it into action. And it started off as a prayer breakfast at one of the local churches, and then it's within entertainment and ministers and a speaker. In fact, I was the guest speaker one year. And then later on, we decided we wanted to expand it because we thought it was a great opportunity. Our community was expanding. It was a great way to showcase the NAACP, also to pay tribute to Dr. King. And so we started having it at Walker Grant Middle School. And then...
That's when I came in.
Right, then you came
in. Because I got there. Yeah, I went to that breakfast with Mary Catherine that year. And after the breakfast... You know, Xavier and all the officers and everything, they're working all, like, for an hour to clean the place up. They're mopping. They're putting the chairs away.
Yeah.
And I went up to our president, Charlene, and I said, Charlene, what are you doing here? Why don't you go to a hotel and have a really nice event? And she said, well, I don't know if we could do that. I said, let me help you.
Yeah.
So that's when I got my bossy self jumped in. And I used to be a catering manager, so it was like, I'll do this. You know, so we moved to the hospitality house, and then we had this wonderful breakfast there, and they put together a great thing. And it was such a crowd. I mean, we sold out in 5 minutes, and it was just an incredible event. And we did that for a number of years until, of course, COVID.
Right. And you're virtual now.
We're virtual now, partly because of, I think it's been a mandate of the national NAACP that you have to have gatherings of this sort. And then we think about some of the members and age and the impact of the virus on the minority community. So we didn't want to create, we wanted to have a super event, but not a super spreader.
Right.
So we decided not to have it. And we, one of the things that we would be secretly praying about during the prayer breakfast is that we can have it back in person next year, because that's very important, the fellowship. And, and all, and then we expanded it to include sponsors, and when we included to have corporate sponsors, we were able to enhance the program even more. The last event we had, the last few events we sold out, and so we're going to have to look for a larger venue as well, because it's such a great event. It's the premier celebration of Dr. King this year,
and it's
community.
Yeah, and for fundraising for the NAACP, this is a big moment.
Yes, yes. The community has really responded really well, and I have to keep saying really because it's really surprising to many of us just the way it has evolved. Because it started off with and a little challenge, I will say, because I said, well, you know, when you have special events, because I do so many, I do fundraising for a living. I understand that you don't make money off the tickets. I mean, because most of the time the tickets just cover the cost of the meal. So I created this sponsorship concept, and people say, oh, we can't do this. We don't have time to do this. I said, let me do it. Because all I did was got on the phone and start calling people, text them, said, hey, I need $250 sponsorship.
He's a machine. He's a machine.
That's what I have heard.
I was creating along the way. Sometimes I was underselling, but I said, $250, get two tickets, and you can attend the event. And so then we're clear, you know, $200 on the tickets. And people say, no, we need to sell these tickets. We're selling them this way. And it's been a phenomenal success, and it's enabled us to do more in the community.
So people still, you're still looking for sponsors? If someone wants to become a sponsor, they can.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes, we definitely will. But if they want to be on the slideshow, which is an important part, even when we had it in person, we didn't print a program and encourage those experiences. We had a slideshow, a PowerPoint slideshow. So if you want to do it, you need to get in touch with us very soon, because we have to develop that slideshow and all the other technology things. But we certainly would appreciate the support of the community, because it goes for some great things that we'll talk about later in terms of some of the things we're doing in the community.
Well, and just having this is an important day. This is an important event.
Exactly. It's a very important day. It's a day to celebrate. It's not a day to be off, but a day to be on to doing something positive. And fortunately, there are some other organizations and community, in the community doing things. And fortunately, there are other prayer breakfasts throughout this community, because I don't think there's a venue that would be able to accommodate all the people who would want to celebrate Dr. King. You know, in the past, we would have the Sunday celebration as well, but because of the pandemic and COVID restrictions, we have not had that, and we're hoping to bring that back next year, because that would bring in six or 700 people as well.
Yeah.
But it's a very, very important community event.
And you're one, too. Just it occurs to me that this is one of those kind of days. I mean, I think back to you just this last election day. You got the community together and did tree plantings. I mean,
yes.
you're one to,
Well, that's the thing about it is this event just doesn't stay in the African-American community. Xavier's got a lot of outreach into the business community. I have a lot of outreach into other pieces of the community. Mm-hmm. And we have sponsors coming from all walks of life and all areas of the community. And that's what's really critical, is that everyone understands that this isn't just an organization for African-American people. This is an organization for anyone that believes in civil rights, and anyone who believes that everyone should have the same equal freedoms across the world. And so we need to join together with this community and celebrate Dr. King, because he's the leader and he brought this to the forefront, you know, 50 years, 60 years ago, and we're still through that struggle. In fact, the theme of the event is the fierce urgency of now, which comes from one of Dr. King's talks. And think about it. He was talking about the fierce, that word fierce is the key
it
thing.
It is.
The fierce urgency of now, where he was talking about that 67 years ago, and now we're still talking about it, but in a different context, because now there have been changes. Not enough. Not fast enough, but there are changes, and we need to keep moving, and it needs to be fierce.
I remember, Xavier, you were in that. It was either you came in, and we did a show when the day that President Obama was inaugurated, and you did the show, and then you went up to D.C. after that, and I've never forgotten that you did that. And it was so interesting talking to you, because we talked about those very things, that we've made a lot of progress, but still much needs to be done, and same can be said today.
Certainly, and in some ways, we're moving backwards. I mean, and I look at some of the things that we've had in this community over the years. We are not where we were even when we were in segregated times in some respects. So it's certainly an urgency of now, of ensuring it for our next generations, and to also maintain those promises and those changes that have been made. I remember that day vividly, too, and I know that there were so many people in this community that who had been my mentors, who would have, as just a Southern expression, who would have thunk, but who would have thought that it would be an African-American president in their lifetimes. And so it was such a great time to celebrate, and many people thinking, you know, what would Martin think on that?
Yeah.
Yes.
I also think that this is an important time for our community, because so many of the Johnny Johnsons and the Mayor Davies and, you know, all the names that we'll be mentioning this morning, they're not able to be as involved like they were, and are passing on, and there's got to be a new generation.
Exactly. And we talk about that in the NAACP, that we need to make sure that we develop the next generation, and that was part of the reason why we were working with the college chapter, the university chapter, and we're also looking at creating something for our young people. But one of the things I remember at one of the breakfasts that we had was that one of the leaders who has gone on to become a youth member of the national board said that when you pass the torch, be sure that you let it go. And I think that's part of the problem, that we sometimes want to say we are passing the torch, but we're still hanging on to it. And we have to be receptive to change. The younger generation You know, they have different ways of doing things, and a lot of those ways are great. We want them to be mindful of the past, not lose the past, but we also need to understand what their past has, how it has impacted them. A perfect example I have at the home of Charlie Fry one evening, and his children were there, and I was saying that, you know, during the time of the George Floyd protest and all, I said, well, you guys, you have to understand the historical nature of this, and we had protests back then, and we need to look at it this way and stuff. And she explained to me why they felt they can't wait. It's sort of why, you know, there's a book, I think, by Martin Luther King, Why We Can't Wait. Because they, in their short lifetimes, have witnessed a lot of things that we didn't, you know, of kids being murdered. The number of kids who were being murdered by law enforcement agents and all this. And that's why they feel that they can't wait. And whereas we said, well, here's a way, a process to do it. So we have to be mindful of that. But yes, we have to groom the next generation. We need to work in partnership with them and not just give it to them, but also be willing to let go. Because when I think about the things that we did, the things that you were sharing, that you were doing at that age, I'm not sure if we, young people of this generation, many of them are actually as socially involved. And many of them are, and I see it in high schools, but we need to enable them as opposed to straining them from doing it sometimes.
This program being virtual, we're going to take a break and come back, but it's with it being virtual, if someone wants to get involved and be able to watch it virtually, get a ticket, what's the best way to do that?
So we will, they can go to our website or they can contact us, and they can be a sponsor or they can just be a participant as far as joining it, and we'll be sending out. They have to register because we'll be sending out the link, the Zoom link to them in about 4 or 5 days. And then they get the Zoom link and then they can be part of that. And then we will also have it on our website after the event as well. And hopefully you'll share it as well, Ted.
Yeah, I definitely will. Quick break. We'll be back. We'll continue on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:31.
Okay, listen. We got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit GoEVMobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
We're talking about the Martin Luther King Day program in Fredericksburg. It's virtual January the 16th, FredericksburgNAACP.org to get information on how you can be able to watch it virtually. FredericksburgNAACP.org. Ann Little and Xavier Richardson here. The theme of the program, the fierce urgency of now, and Ann, you explained that came. I thought, what a great theme for a program, and that comes from a Dr. King writing or speech comes from him. But the program itself, what's the program look like?
So it's called a prayer breakfast, but since we're virtual, you're going to have to make your own bowl of cereal. but we start out with recognizing our sponsors, of course, and then we have an opening prayer. This year, Reverend Rita Armstead is going to be doing our opening prayer. And then our two speakers, we have, first of all, Dr. Gayla Sims from the Fredericksburg Area Museum. She's the curator of African American history. And, Xavier, you might want to explain a little bit what Dr. Sims is going to speak about.
She is brilliant, by the way. I interviewed her about the slave block, and, boy, she impressive.
Very impressive. In fact, we had her last year for Black History Month at Mary Washington Healthcare, even before she got here.
Yeah.
So she's the curator, again, of African American history and culture, and she's going to be talking about some of the great things that the Fredericksburg Area Museum is doing in that area, and this is very much related to the work of the NAACP because there was a lot of work and support of going on through many of the members of the organization relative to the movement, removal of the former slave block and the appropriate placement mm-hmm. within the museum, and she's led a lot of discussions and a lot of information sessions on and soliciting community input on how that should be done. So she'll be sharing some of that as well as a few other things. She's really a great expert on this. And by the way, her sister, I think, does the same thing for a museum in D.C.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. So, that's fabulous.
Yes.
Yeah, and then Congresswoman Abigail Spanberger is our keynote speaker. We're going to have music of Keith Armistead, and are followed by Reverend Kenan Thomas, who's a new minister at New Site Baptist Church. That's okay. Your church, isn't it,
Xavier? Yes, Shallow Baptist Church, New Site. He started on January 1st. So we put him to work right away.
Throw him into the mix right away, man.
This is this will be a great program, though, and a great start to the day.
Yeah, it's an hour program. It's tight, but it's entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
We really try to keep it fast moving and make sure that people have a good, enjoyable start to their morning.
And start to recommitting to the principles of Dr. King and the work of the NAACP. Well, we want this to be a celebration that morning, but we wanted to inspire people as well.
Well, and one of the things, and you touched on just a second ago, that's important is for people of all races to get involved with the Fredericksburg NAACP. The more you've got, the more people involved, the more you can do.
Well, the mission, this is the stated mission of the NAACP, is to ensure the political, educational, social, and economic equality of rights of all persons and to eliminate racial hatred and racial discrimination. All persons. That's the key. All persons. Because there are so many marginalized people in our community.
Mm-hmm.
So many people that are taken down by hate and by just trying to eliminate them from having any power whatsoever. And so this really is a powerful mission that we really all need to support. Everyone in our community.
Well, and in going to a lot of NAACP, Fredericksburg NAACP events over the years, I am struck that there is a really cross-section of people. It's not who you would expect, necessarily.
Exactly, and that's what makes us very proud of this community, that there are so many people who are interested, and as our communities become more diverse, so has our membership, and as our communities become a little bit more progressive, I'm proud that it is. Jokingly, I would say I never thought I would come back to Fredericksburg because I agree with my high school history teacher who said that Fredericksburg is so backwards and slow to change because the last time George Washington left Fredericksburg, he told the people of Fredericksburg, don't do anything until I return. Well, by George, we now know that he's not coming back. And so we've become a more progressive community.
Oh, my God.
That's even reflected in our membership.
I'd forgotten you've told that before. That's a great line.
I have to say it quickly. I didn't want to take away from the program. But yes, I think he envisioned a more diverse world, and certainly this is a tribute to him as well.
As far as branch accomplishments, this has been a very active.
Well, this is due because
branch.
Xavier took on this mission of making the sponsorship a really key part of this, because this is the main fundraiser for the NAACP that enables the branch to do what they have to do. So, back in that first breakfast that I was with, I think they raised $800. So there's not a lot you can do with $800, Ted. And so it has grown over the last few years. And we goad each other on to make sure that we do as much as we possibly can and raise for this event.
Well, great team. And certainly this has been part of what the president, Charlene Jackson Fields, has always wanted to do, be more engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes if you don't have resources in the form of people,
right.
And we still want more people involved, but also resources. And as a result of that, we've had many notable accomplishments this past year. One of them is the creation of the Marguerite B. Young Excellence in Education Awards. You know much about Mrs. Young, who is not only an outstanding educator, civil rights advocate, church member, but she also was a strong member of advancing the Fredericksburg branch NAACP, and that was part of her dream to see it to be more actively engaged, and she was instrumental in working with Charlene to do that. So the branch wanted to honor her, and they thought about doing a scholarship. And I said, well, let's do something different. And scholarships are a dime a dozen. I'm certainly an advocate of that. Let's do something that more properly recognizes her legacy. And so we created the Marguerite B. Young Excellence in Education Awards. And what that does is it provides a monetary award and recognition to three outstanding educators in the Fredericksburg City Public Schools. And that includes a teacher, a paraprofessional, which would include teacher's aides, et cetera, and other non-administrative staff, which could be a secretary, it could be a cafeteria worker, it could be a custodian. And we did that. We made those first awards this past year, and we gave away $5,000 in awards, $1,250 awards and one $2,500 award. And this is something that the faculty and staff of Fredericksburg City Schools, they nominated the persons. And I was proud to be a part of that process. And at the end of it, I made an observation. I said, do you know what you did? You did what Dr. King would want. We had a white teacher librarian. We had an African-American paraprofessional who's actively engaged in the community, and a Hispanic administrative staff person. Hmm. And that was done naturally, and that's what we wanted to make sure it was a natural process. So we're very proud of that. We provided financial assistance to Mental Health America Fredericksburg to implement a mental health program in conjunction with Mary Washington Healthcare and our foundation. And it's a pilot program that's going to take place at Walker Grant Middle School. And this, the goal of it is to increase the number of licensed mental health providers representing underserved communities and providing school-based therapy for kids at risk for suicide. Another thing we did is provide funding in the amount of $3,000 to Germana Community College for the support of the Gladys B. Todd Academy. It's a pre-college program for underserved students. And this is to purchase laptop computers for James Monroe High School students who are on their way to college. And lastly, we exceeded our voter registration and restoration of voter rights goal of at least 100 by over 50 plus. So we did over 150. This was very important, these voter registration drives and voter education sessions, which were completed at the James Monroe High School and in the community.
It's a active branch.
Yes, it is. And we plan on becoming even more active. And next year we'll have some goals relative to affordable housing and more goals relative to healthcare. And this is where my professional life and my community life intersect, because we just completed a community health needs assessment mm-hmm. in conjunction with the health department for this whole community. And the three things that came out of that was access to healthcare, of mental health services, and the other way, affordable housing.
Yes, same. Yeah,
and then you forgot trees. You have to have trees
right,
for
you
health.
Have trees. That's exactly. The
we can't have Ann Little here
and
not talk trees.
Everything. And you know what? Trees are the answer, for gosh sakes. You know
yes,
that. Yes.
I forgot that, Miss Tree. Everybody knows Ann is Miss Tree.
I wondered, Ann, how you were going to work tree.
I got leaves coming out of my fingers.
Yeah, how you could work into an MLK program. Only you could do that. I remember the day when Mrs. Young, you surprised her. You invited me to the little get-together that you had at Shiloh Oldsite, where she was totally surprised, and you had led her to believe that she was there for something else. It was a great program because she is just such a giant in this community.
She really is. Physically, she is a short lady, but yeah. she's maybe 5 feet tall, but she's really 15 feet tall in terms of what she does.
When she speaks, people listen.
Right, exactly. In fact, that's why I'm here. This is why I'm working at Mary Washington Healthcare, because she was a board member at the time, and she advocated for my employment there. I went to Princeton because she was, along with another teacher, came and approached me and said, you need to go to Princeton. She was the one who made me go into this program in fourth grade. So she's everywhere. The mentoring program that I started was because she brought a bunch of us together and said, here's some training, now you go figure out what you're going to do with it. I'm 60 years old, and I'm too old to do things. And at 94, she's still pointing that finger. So
right.
We wanted to pay tribute to her in a meaningful way, and we plan on doing this in perpetuity in terms of hopefully creating an endowment.
Yeah. She's a giant in the community.
Totally.
The first time I met her, she said to me, and I said, you know, tell me a little bit about yourself. And she said, well, you know, my philosophy is I'm going to do for others as much as I can, as long as I can, and for as many people as I can. Think about that as a life philosophy.
Yeah.
What an amazing, amazing philosophy.
Yeah. I mean, she's not only impacted you, Xavier. I mean, you go around this community.
Oh, yeah. She's touched so many lives. And so it was so important that day. It was a surprise. This is one thing that she had nothing to do with.
Yeah.
Well, she had everything to do with, but she didn't know that we were going to pay tribute to her in that way. And in fact, she will be a part of the program as well. She will be announcing the three recipients of the award. So we want to keep her involved as long as she can. And she's
right.
Still a great, feisty,
wonderful,
loving person who has done so much behind the scenes and up front.
Yeah. Again, if someone wants to become a sponsor to this event, the best way, to Fredericksburg, NAACP.org, and find out information on that. Like you said, Xavier, if you want to do that and you want to be part of a slideshow, you need to do that right away.
Right. It's a great way to honor someone and honor someone living or to memorialize someone by making this contribution to the great work of the NAACP.
Fredericksburg.
It's an online way to make your donation so you don't have to worry about writing a check.
Right.
We prefer that you use the online process.
Fredericksburg, NAACP.org. When we come back, we'll wrap this up and talk again about the program itself and the speakers. It is a great opportunity for the community to again come together on Martin Luther King Day. Xavier Richardson and Little here this morning will conclude on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
And little Xavier Richardson here this morning. The Martin Luther King program from the Fredericksburg branch of the NAACP is on January 16th. It is a virtual FredericksburgNAACP.org for information on how to become a sponsor or for ticket information to watch it. Membership. How important is membership to the NAACP locally?
It's our lifeblood. It really is. And the main thing is that it's not about getting members to give us money. It's about getting members to be involved. And there's so many ways to be involved. And I want to mention that there's a college chapter at University of Mary Washington. It was started a few years back by the young people there. And it's very active and very well supported. And they do a lot of great things. And so that's, to your point, Xavier, having the young people involved is so critical.
Exactly. And when I was growing up, there was actually a youth chapter from time to time. And we're going to reinstitute that. There are some youth-related initiatives that we are hoping to implement, and that's going to be something we're going to bring a younger person in to help us do that. And we're going to pass that torch, and we're going to let it go. But we're going to support it. We're doing a lot of things to support young people indirectly through all of the support that we've provided to the schools. It's very important in this day and age that we support our local school system. And we've done things even helping to empower parents and how to raise children by bringing in a speaker that Dr. Catlett, Marshall Marcus C. Catlett, had invited to speak to the entire...
And we did a parent-student forum for two sessions, right?
Right. Yes.
Yeah. So that was sponsored by the NAACP. So we're focused on, there's very active committees. This is an organization, and I belong to a lot of organizations. This organization, just their meetings are well attended, but their committees are very active. So there's a political committee. There's an education committee. There's a health committee.
There's housing,
legal. All of these things that need support, and there are people that are doing this. So anyone that has an interest in any of these categories or just an interest in making our city a better city should be a part of the NAACP. And you can be as little involved or as much as you want to be involved. My focus is this program, and I do some education outreach, but I've got a lot of other interests. Xavier's interest is more healthcare and so on. And people really pick up on these things. And there's some giants, Gay Adegbolola. There's just a huge amount of people that are been involved from the very beginning that continue to work on this. But I think what's really welcoming is, I mean, I'm sort of a newbie in this town, even though I've been here 20 years. That's a newbie when it comes to
oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they let me do this because they're welcoming, and they anyone walks in and says, I want to help, they immediately say, thank you for coming.
Yeah.
Welcome. Here's what we can help you with, and whatever you want to do and be part of this, come on in.
The program January 16th from 9 to 10, from 8:30 to 9, the sponsors are recognized. It's virtual, and it's going to be a great program.
It is. And I know you mentioned that we want members, but we also want money. No, I always say, no money, no mission. But in this case, we will have a mission, but we can better implement and support our mission by that. And
you know, Ted, when you go to to that website to get to that link, you can give as little as $10, $5. It doesn't have to be a sponsor.
$500, $1,000,
$1,500. So, yeah, so you can tell the difference. I mean, I'm down here with the grassroots. This man is like, that's what he does.
You grassroots, I'm big trees.
Yeah.
I like that. You got to remember that. It's a great line. Again, FredericksburgNAACP.org is the website. Again, Dr. Gayla Sims from the Fredericksburg Area Museum, one of the speakers, Congresswoman Abigail Spanberger, one of the speakers. And this is an important day. A lot of people, like you said, Xavier, I mean, your story, I always look forward to hearing that every year and pick up something different, because a lot of people have those stories about the day that Dr. King was assassinated, of being one of those where were you kind of moments to a lot of people.
Indeed.
And it was for you.
Well, it's a great honor to be here and to share the word with your listening audience, and hopefully we'll see some of you online.
On virtually, yes. Thank you both for coming in and continuing this. And like you say, it's virtual this year. Hopefully next year everything will be in one spot. FredericksburgNAACP.org. Again, it's the website. The program is virtual. It is January 16th. Xavier Richardson, Ann Little, thank you both for what you do in the community. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Well, thanks for having us, Ted.
Appreciate
we really appreciate it.
That is it. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit GoEVMobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.